We have a number of visitors with us today, and we certainly appreciate your presence. I would like you to know that I'm preach very seldom here. Once in a while, Gene is our regular preacher, but he is suffering from jet lag as he just came back from the British Isles. So we feel the responsibility to do this work and to do the best that we can. Although it will not be up to what is normally preached from this pulpit, I'm sure. Some people told me as soon as they saw the bulletin that they were going to leave early. Well, I don't blame them. If I had the choice, I would leave early right now. My topic is a difficult one, but the scriptures speak at least some about it. They give us some clues, but they don't always tell us everything that we need to know. Well, everything that we'd like to know, but everything that we need to know certainly has been revealed. But we as humans, we have those things that we want to know that are much more than what the gospel gives to us. So let's see if we can sort out from the scriptures that are provided for us some things that we would like to know. The question is, what happens when I die? Many of the questions that have been asked me in the recent past are, where do we go immediately after death? Will there be a judgment? Do we have a soul or a spirit? Will we know our friends where we go when we die, where we go? Well, first of all, we need to think about death. What does it mean? Death is a separation. It is an end of a state or a condition. Some people say that we have no spirit or soul, that when we're dead all over, just like Rover. And that's not the case. The Bible speaks quite a bit about our spirit and our soul. Paul said, John said in chapter 11, verse 44, 41 through 44, these things, I'll get settled down in a minute. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Do you think that Lazarus knew where he was while he was dead? Do you think that the question was asked of him, what was it like? I'm sure it was. I believe that he didn't know. I believe that his sisters, Mary and Martha, said to him, Brother, tell us where you were. Tell us what it was like. You know, if you watch the television and listen to the radio and read the paper, you often find that people say that they see this bright light. Well, we don't have any indication that Lazarus saw bright light or that Lazarus told us anything much about what he said, about what he saw. I believe that we live in only one world of time at a time. I believe that he was unable to tell about those things that he saw and those things that he heard. And the reason I say this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. And such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. I want you to notice that Paul said that he was caught up into paradise, and that he heard things that it is unlawful for a man to utter. I believe this is sufficient to tell us that Lazarus and we and whoever will not be able to live in two worlds at one time. Let's look at the soul and the spirit. Sometimes the two words are used interchangeably. Sometimes the word soul means individual, and sometimes it means what I call the animation of a person. I believe that the spirit is what God sets within a person that causes them to be animated, be able to have a mind and to think, and makes their heart beat and their body move. Without that spirit or without that soul, we are dead. In Genesis 35:18, it says, "And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, and his father called him Benjamin." So here is an example of a woman. She was on her deathbed, and it says her soul was departing because she died. In 1 Kings chapter 21 and verses 23, "And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth." I think without our soul, without our spirit, we die. We cannot live. We will not live. And that soul, that spirit, it comes from God and from no one else. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto the God who gave it." God gives us our spirit, the Bible says. Do you remember the cross and the scene at the cross? I'm sure you do. There were three people being crucified on that day. Two of them were thieves and murderers. But Christ was sinless. And Jesus said in Luke 23:42, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, the thief said, "Remember me when thou comest into my kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." One of these men that were on the cross with Christ was willing to repent. He was sorrowful for the things that he had done. And Jesus was able to realize and know his heart. So he was willing and able to forgive him. Jesus had the power to forgive sins, and he did that at this moment. This was before the church. People always talk about, what about the thief on the cross? Well, he was still under the old law until the church had been established, and it wasn't at this time. It was in the process, but it wasn't at this time. So the Lord forgave him. And I want you to notice that he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." There's something very important about this, and we'll see a lot more about this later. But Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, we read in Luke 23:46, he said, "Father, Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Remember we just read that the spirit goes back to the God who gave it? Well, Jesus saying the same thing. I commend my spirit into thy hands. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. When his spirit left him, he died. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We know that for sure. Cliff talked about the switch this morning in Bible class. When he did wrong, he got switched along the legs. I could tell you lots of things about the things that I did wrong and what happened to me, but that's not important today. But it is important to realize that we reverence our mothers and our fathers. Even though that they took time to discipline us and to do things that sometimes we didn't like, we still had a reverence toward them. We respected them. The verse goes on to say, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? Shouldn't we realize that if we can respect our mother and our father, that we ought not to revere God that much more? The Father of spirits. He who gives us our animation. He who makes us alive. John 16 and verse 8 says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Matthew 25, verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's not goats and sheep that we're talking about in this verse. It is you and I. If we're righteous, we'll be on the right hand. If we're not righteous, we're going to be on the left hand. And remember, he says, those who are righteous inherit the kingdom of heaven, prepared from the foundations of the world. In Matthew 12 and verse 41, it says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation. We will be judged with those from all times past, and shall condemn it. And she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom. Oh, I read the wrong verse. I'm sorry. That happens when you get old, I guess. Matthew 12:41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Then in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Bible says that it'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for those who hear Christ, who understand Christ, and do not obey Christ. In Luke 14 and verse 12, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. And here is the blessing. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You do things for people, Not because they can do things back to you, but because the God of heaven will remember those things at the resurrection of the just. Jesus said in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 3:13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven." No man hath ascended up into heaven, John 13:3 says. In Acts 2 and verse 32, "This Jesus God hath raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father of promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." Now pay attention here. "For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool." Do we go directly to heaven when we die? Some believe that. I think these scriptures that I have presented to you so far don't teach that. They teach that we go some other place to wait until the resurrection. The question also comes before us is, if we are in a better place when we die, and if those who are not righteous are in a terrible place being tormented, as we'll see in a few minutes, then why is there a need for the judgment? Now watch with me as we go along. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3-5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Not now, but in the last time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." What day? The resurrection day. The day of judgment. The day we will all be judged. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. And what was he looking forward to? It was a crown. He said, he'll give me a crown. Are you looking forward to a crown? We should be. In John verse 20, chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not." Don't touch me. Who was he talking to? He's talking to Mary. He said, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended unto my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascended to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." It seems to me if when we are resurrected, and I don't believe that those who are dead have been resurrected, we'll be like Jesus at our resurrection. When the resurrection is, that great day, then is when we'll go to heaven. That's what happened to Jesus. He ascended to his Father. Seems like to me that kind of settles the matter in that verse. But we have more. In John chapter 8 and verse 21, and Jesus saying to them, I go my way, and you seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Not in your sins you cannot come. Not with sin on your soul you cannot come, but you need to be righteous. In Luke chapter 19 through 31, we have the account of this certain rich man. I wanted to read this for you, but I'm not sure that I have time, but I'll try. Listen to this. This is the best example I know in the Bible about what happens to a man who is righteous and dies, and a man who is not righteous, a man who is unwilling to be obedient to God and dies. This is what happens. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and they licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes in being in torment and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one would come from unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one arose from the dead. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that place of torment. I want to be where Lazarus was. I read some sermons about this subject and some commentaries, and they say Abraham's bosom is not really real. Well, that may be true, but what I know for sure is that Abraham spoke, and he spoke for Lazarus. And the rich man who was being tormented, he spoke. And he didn't want his brethren to come to this place. In fact, he didn't want to be there, but he was. After death, there was no choice. He cannot turn back. He cannot change his mind. There are people in this audience today that need to think seriously about their condition. You do not want to be where the rich man was. Daniel said, and it's written in Daniel 12 and verse 13, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand thy lot at the end of the days. I don't know about you, but I know where I want my end of days to be, and I know what I want them to be. Now, last part of Revelations 2 and verse 10, it says, be thou faithful unto death. And here's the promise. I will give thee a crown of life. Isn't that what we're looking for, that reward? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it is good or bad. You better do good, because if you do bad, you'll be in torment. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the goodly, godly. Isn't that awful? How to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 2:4 says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. The implication is here, if he delivered the angels into hell, what do you think he'll do with us? What do you think will happen to us if we do not obey what he says? I know I put a lot of scripture in this, and it speaks better than me. I have one more, and I want you to think about these things as you go through the next week or so, especially you who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, and we know he did, there's plenty of witnesses to say he did, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we ever be with the Lord. You want to ever be with the Lord? I would think you would want to do that. Our conditions here on this earth are such, as we talked in the Bible class quite a bit, that we are a sinful being. We don't necessarily want to be, but we are not able on our own to save ourselves. And since we are not able on our own to save ourselves, God has made a plan for us, and his plan is simple. We must believe that he is, and that he is the Savior of the world. We must repent of those things that we do that are contrary to his word. We must confess the name of Christ. You need to come forward and do that, and then be baptized for the remission, the removal of your sins. And then you become a child of God. The Lord himself adds you to the church. And after that, live a life faithful unto death. If you're willing to do that, God will give you that crown of life on the judgment day. He's a good God. He'll be good to you. But if you're not willing, if you shun him and do not obey what he has set before us, we'll be like the rich man. It is unfortunate that many people have died and will live in torment for ages on end. Eternity is before you. Won't you obey? as we stand and sing.
Trusting in the grace this hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments